This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast, best bits from Friday, April the 19th. It was the end of the week, and what a week we have had. The week that saw the strongest rainfall, the strongest storm ever to hit the UAE, and certainly Dubai was very much at the eye of that storm. The cleanup still continuing on Friday, and therefore the theme was, of course, how businesses and lives had been affected by the storms. We spoke to Islam Abdul Karim, General Manager GCC for Yanga. Ride hailing, are they back to 100% services? How are they helping the community as a whole? And is there a little bit of price gouging going on? A couple of the questions we put to Islam. Spiro Panagakis is the co-owner of BB Social Dining and other brands across the UAE. He runs a portfolio of restaurants. What about supplies? Are they getting the supplies in? Are they getting the food into their venues? And once they get the food into the venues, are they getting people to eat that food? What about the footfall into and out of BB Social? Sai Lee is the Managing Director for Premier Inn Hotels, the MENA region. He's the boss of Premier Inn Hotels across the MENA area. He was on to give us an idea about bookings, forward bookings, cancellations, numbers, and what they were doing in their sort of community reach out initiatives during these trying times for many. Michael Cook is the commercial manager of JM Foods. We'll be hearing from him as well. He's one of those suppliers that are supplying the likes of Spiro, the restaurateurs and the hotels around town. Have they been able to get their fleet of trucks out? What about perishables and otherwise? And what sort of impact is that having on the logistics and delivery? Avinash Babur, CEO and founder of InsuranceMarket.ae, has been very kind to join us a couple of times this week as well. Why? Well, it's going to be a massive insurance payout, is there? They're not. That is a guarantee. So a lot of people looking to get reassurances from their insurance brokers and their insurance companies at the moment before they send cars in or get repairs done to their houses, etc. Some great advice coming through from Avinash. And of course, PG, Mr. Paul Griffiths, CEO of Dubai Airports, fronting up yet again. He joined us for the fourth morning on the trot to give us an update from the Dubai Airports. They, of course, have been very much at the centre of a huge amount of attention, cancellation of flights, postponement of flights. We've had suspension of services at certain points, which has put a huge amount of pressure onto Paul and his team. So we got all the latest on a Friday morning ahead of what promises to be a very busy weekend. That's all coming up right here on the Bite Size Business Breakfast Podcast. Keep you updated on what's happening on the roads of the UAE. Also keep you updated on what's happening in the airports of the UAE. News coming through yesterday from a number of the airlines across the UAE, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah and of course Dubai, that there were more and more services coming up, getting up and running as the effects of the storm continue to be felt. Let's find out what's the latest from Dubai airports as we're joined yet again, very thankfully, by the CEO of Dubai Airports, Paul Griffiths, who's been kind enough to join us for a fourth morning on the trot during what have been testing times for us all. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Tom.
Let's start with getting to the airport first. I'm looking at my Google Maps at the moment, and after challenges in recent mornings, it seems to me, fingers crossed and touch wood, that the roads in and around the airport seem to be a lot clearer today. Is that better access?
It certainly is, Tom. And what we've now seen is all the roads are pretty much open around the airport. Metro is running well. And we're in a situation now where I think access to and from the airport is now unrestricted, which is good news for customers joining flights and arriving on flights, and also very good news for our staff. Now we're able to get all of the staff of all of the stakeholders to and from the airport in an unencumbered way. So everyone is expecting to be able to have a full complement of staff, which will help us greatly to get everything away today.
Once through the doors, once into the airport itself, how are the services and the organisation looking at the moment?
Well, we've still experienced a high level of cancellation. We've cancelled something like 1,200 flights over the last 3 days. However, the improvement in departures continues to be steady. We're still urging people to check with their airlines their specific flights and not to come to the airport until a maximum of 2 hours before departure, so that we don't add to the crowds at the airports. The food and refreshments for people is still arriving in huge numbers. We've got huge deliveries underway. We've distributed already 3,000 packs of food and over 45,000 bottles of water and different snacks and different things. So passenger welfare remains our focus. As I've said, all the concessions at the airport over the last 4 days have been fully operational now. Supplies are arriving for those concessions, so everything is up and running. And the reports that have been circulating on social media of things being flooded, that's absolutely not the case. We're in a situation now where the airport is 100% operational and all our focus is on recovering the flight schedule towards normality. It's going to be quite a while, I think, until we can say that we're back at normal schedule levels. Probably the balance of today before we can actually say things are resembling normality. But we're on the right trajectory. Focus, as always, is looking after customers that are delayed by the current situation. And we're putting all our efforts into getting people to their ultimate destination.
I'm glad you brought up social media, Paul, because there's an awful lot of posts of people who have had very lengthy delays talking about the situation at the airport, the length of their delay, getting people to talk to them and to help them. What is it like there on the ground for people who are delayed, and what are you doing to make sure that they know what they need to know and are as comfortable as possible?
Well, I went into the terminals yesterday to assess conditions, and I spoke to a number of customers there. I have to say my heart goes out to them, because for every single individual, this is a very personal event, and it's very difficult to sort of get to the bottom of the sort of human impact of this. You know, there were people that were had really good reasons for being back. One person I spoke to yesterday had an audience with the King back in the UK, and we were able to facilitate getting them on a flight. And there were all sorts of different personal stories. It's incredibly busy there. It's very challenging. Obviously, the contact with the airlines is quite challenging as well. All of our flight information displays are being proactively updated with information as soon as we're getting it. We've got QR codes published where people can click and get the latest information. So it's just a very challenging time, because the sheer volume of people that are now displaced from their original departure time has been just so significant. We've never seen anything like it before.
I mean, I realise obviously there's little you can do about the aeroplane schedule itself. You don't run the airlines. But what can you do to manage the number of people who are in the terminals with these long delays? I mean, is it a case of bringing in more staff?
Well, we've got a full complement of staff. And obviously what we're doing now is focusing on passenger welfare. But actually, we are very involved in working closely with the airlines to make sure that we are getting as many aircraft into the air as we possibly can. We've had a few diversions during the course of the night, but the departure flow rate has been improving. And actually, that is our main focus. The only way we're going to reduce the volume of people that are on the ground at DXB is by increasing the departure rate of aircraft, because obviously, the more people we can get away on an aeroplane, the less the number of people that are remaining on the ground. But people are arriving, they're in transit, waiting for aircraft to depart. And of course, you know, every arrival brings new transit passengers and obviously more people to the airport expecting to depart. So getting that flow rate up is the primary way in which we're managing the situation. And then, of course, with people on the ground, we're still making sure that all of the supplies to keep people fed and watered are there. So everything I think we can do. I just wish we could do more and get more people away more promptly. And that's definitely our objective.
Paul Griffiths, the CEO of Dubai Airports, has been very kind and kind enough to stay with us in light of the number of questions coming in for Paul and all the team at Dubai Airports. Paul, really appreciate your time. Just to that point that you made earlier, and I appreciate we're going into yet another busy weekend. There's no such thing as a quiet weekend when it comes to Dubai Airports. This is going to be a busy weekend for a lot of people. But you highlighted there the role of social media. It is part and parcel of our lives at the moment. A lot of people rely on it at the moment. But during times like this at the moment, is your advice, like it is from so many of the authorities here, to go to the official sources rather than just believe everything you're hearing on social media?
Absolutely, Tom. There's no doubt about it that some of the things that are circulating on social media are misleading. So what we're trying to do is put a huge amount of communications out there. We're updating all of our channels, our website, social media channels that we operate, etc., to make sure that people do have the source of truth that they can rely on. I think one of the challenges that people are reporting is some of the airlines are proving quite difficult to get in touch with. And obviously, our advice is that only the airlines can advise exactly what the schedules are going to be. And that has to be the single source of truth for their customers. So, but we are actually publishing everything that we can that's verified on our website and via our social media channels on LinkedIn, etc. So, some of the things that are circulating on social media, as you rightly say, it's customers obviously at the airport having their say and making their own particular comments. But we are putting one source of truth out there to help most of the people that are trying to get away today.
You had that suspension of inbound flights early doors this morning, Paul, lifted from 4 a.m. With what you're seeing at the airport today, is there a chance that there could be another suspension? What else could you put in place to try and clear the backlog of people?
Well, the suspension has been designed to free up capacity so we can actually increase the flow rate, because the difficulty, of course, is that we weren't getting enough aircraft away and more were arriving, and so we were filling up. And to avoid a logjam at the airport where nothing can move, we've had to put these flow rate restrictions on arriving aircraft. That actually has helped enormously. That has enabled us to get more aircraft away. We've been liaising very closely with the airlines. We've got an airport operations control center that operates 24/7, has been fully staffed. We've had our crisis management team managing that I've been very heavily involved with as well. So we are taking all sorts of measures to make sure we can increase the flow rate of departures, which then in turn allows more aircraft to arrive. So it's just a question of managing resource very carefully. And obviously at this particular stressful time, that's proving a very difficult challenge, but we're working very closely with all the stakeholders. 100% staff in from Danata. Emirates are pretty well geared up for departures now. Obviously, their channels of communication are under enormous stress at the moment. I know a lot of people have reported great difficulties getting information, but they are working very hard to man all of the telephones and make sure the website is updated. One of the things people have to do is, if they've missed their flight, which of course thousands of people have, is they have to rebook on and get a confirmed seat on a new flight before they come to the airport or when they are at the airport. Those channels have been very, very much in demand. And I know there's been quite long waits to get new flights confirmed, but that is a necessary process that everyone is going to have to go through so that we know exactly who's flying when, and we can plan and cope with that accordingly.
Oh, but weather-based disasters and incidents, obviously very rare here in Dubai. You've run Gatwick, however, for years, Paul. What have you taken from your experience of running a UK airport into this situation? And if we do get more rain events here, what are we going to have to take forward to deal with it next time?
Well, I think one of the things is obviously the busier that the airport gets, the more critical it is to keep the flow rate going. And I think DXB, one of the things that we've been able to do is keep all of the stakeholders, you know, immigration, customs, police, fully manned and getting people through. As soon as they have got a confirmed flight, then we're whisking them through passport control, security and immigration, getting them into the concourses, into the gate rooms and then away, and keeping those channels fully open to minimize the backlog of people. That's obviously the thing that is going to help us the most. And obviously working very closely with the airlines just to maximize the amount of delays. You know, when I ran Gatwick, we did have some severe weather related delays, as well as some other delays down to other various sources. But I've, in all my career in aviation, which goes back far longer than I'm prepared to admit live on radio, I have to say I've never witnessed anything like this. The amount of rain we've had and the disruption it's caused has caused a level of displacement to the whole industry that I've not ever seen before.
So what is your message to those who are waiting, frustrated, seeing their flights pushed back this morning? A personal message from you?
My personal message is clearly we're doing everything we can. I fully appreciate that everyone has their own particular story. Every single journey through DXB is a personal one for the people involved. We're doing everything we can. I wish there was more we could do, but I do thank people so much for the efforts they put in to make the airport continue to operate. And I thank our customers for their patience. I hope the hospitality we're providing is actually keeping them fed, watered, and their basic needs looked after. And I just hope that we can clear the backlog through the day, get more and more flights away and start to get back to normality. Customer service is always at the top of our agenda, and looking after our customers at this particular point in time is something we're putting a great deal of effort into.
Well, Paul, we thank you as well for your input. We thank you for your transparency and your honesty. We thank you for your time as well. I know it's a busy time for you and the team. So we will let you get back to the organisation and the challenges ahead. It's going to be a busy old weekend for the team at Dubai Airport. So our thanks go to Paul Griffiths for not just talking to us this morning, but for the last four mornings on the trot. We've got Serena Kelly in the studio now to bring us up to date with other elements of the mop-up, if you like, the clean-up after the storms as well. SK alongside us. So we've done the airline. You're referencing as the superstorm now.
Oh, that was just me. Sorry. Because, you know, it was pretty much a superstorm.
So wasn't it just?
Yes.
Yeah. The roads, where's the latest?
Okay, so as of last night, the latest from the RTA, they've said access is now available on Sheikh Zayed Road from the World Trade Center roundabout to Junction 9, which is the Airport Road intersection with Airport Road, and that is in both directions. Airport Road itself is partially reopened. Al Kawanij Street is back in use, as well as Algeria Street, Russell Core Road, and the Dubai Al Ain Road as well. There may be delays in certain lanes due to standing water. And then for other transport services, Dubai's RTA have confirmed that marine transport services are operating according to the normal timetable. Taxi, public bus services back to their normal operations as well, but intercity buses, those services are still suspended. Operations return to normal at vehicle inspection centres as well. And most importantly, I know this has been a question from many of your listeners, Dubai Metro, three stations remain closed. So services on the Red Line have resumed in both directions. It will not stop, however, at Equity, Al Mashraq and on passive stations until further notice. This is because recovery efforts continue. These are temporary closures, of course, as maintenance work is carried out. On the Green Line, normal operations have resumed, with trains stopping at all stations from Etisalat to Creek Station. If any of the latest updates and station reopenings, we'll be keeping across them for you, but also check the RTA socials as well.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on Dubai Eye 1038.com.
And we've been speaking to small business owners this morning, everyone from pedal court owners to hair salons, about what they've seen in terms of disruption. We're hearing from several that they've got to close, whether that's because of clients or staff not being able to get to premises or water issues. And we've been wondering what recourse they have insurance-wise. So we're asking Alfred. Evan Ashbarber is the CEO and the founder of insurancemarket.ae. I won't hum it to introduce him. Morning, Evan Ash.
Hi, morning, Brandy.
So tell me, and I realise that it's going to vary from sector to sector, but in general, what insurance do SMEs here in the UAE generally have to have in place to be in business?
Sure. So for SMEs, we tend to recommend packaged policies, which are kind of all your essentials in a box. There's special packages for the F&B sector. There's others for retail, for offices. So that would cover a bunch of things, starting from the core property all risks, all the way down to workman's compensation, business interruption, and other associated insurances as relevant for that sector and industry.
How much of it is mandatory and how much of it is discretionary?
Most of it isn't mandatory as such at the moment. Of course, you have obligations as per labor law, as far as workman's compensation is concerned and things like that. But it's not that you have to buy the insurance per se. But considering, you know, for a small business, this is sometimes even a couple of hundred dirhams a year, or it could be for even a slightly bigger business, a couple of thousand dirhams a year. It's a no-brainer, really, because, you know, the coverage spans oftentimes across millions.
So as someone who sees these policies, these transactions going through, what companies are buying for insurance, how well covered here are smaller companies against things like flood damage?
I think, you know, it differs from sector to sector. I think the more white-collar industries have done well, but there's a lot of kind of gaps in coverage with extremely small micro-businesses, if you like, and even in the blue-collar sector.
What about business continuity? Do you see companies, when they buy insurance, buying those extras?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Generally, a more medium-sized organization will seriously look at covers like business interruption, loss of rent, machinery breakdown, you know, but when it comes to micro businesses, although these covers are available, very easy to put in place, they often tend not to, and they'll go for kind of the bare minimum that their principal in business or their what they're contractually obligated to put in place, such as just a basic public liability, when often not realizing that for a couple of hundred more, if you talk to your insurance broker, they'll be able to throw in a lot more cover for you.
So seeing the videos that we're all seeing on social media and the news, etc., again, given your visibility into what people are buying in terms of insurance cover in the SME sector, how well insured are we?
Like I said, you know, it's a mixed bag. It depends on each sector. I think the F&B sector is pretty good. Retail is pretty good. Offices, there can be a lot of gaps. And, you know, from what we saw, we're seeing claims around property damage, the physical flooding and structural damage from the weight of water accumulation, damage due to leaks, you know. So buildings and contents insurance is crucial. Then obviously the stock and inventory could be lost due to, you know, water damaging things severely. So whether you're a retailer, manufacturer, supplier, you need to have a policy in place. And like I said earlier, it's typically a package policy, which will have most of your requirements in just one box.
So what do you expect the volumes of claims from this week to look like?
We've had quite a few reported, not as many, obviously, as on the car insurance side. But, you know, we've seen restaurants, you know, have major leaks. There have been bursts, exhaust bursts and things like that at various different types of businesses. Warehouses are obviously concerned about structural damage from the water. So and of course, also the loss of stock and inventory and the associated business interruption. You know, the time it may take post an incident like this for you to get back into business and the loss of gross profits as a result of that.
What have we seen with past rains and incidents in terms of insurance companies' willingness to stump up? What's the track record on this like?
No, look, generally, insurance companies have been keen to pay claims unless there is a clear case of, you know, breach of good faith, as it were, if there was a clear sense of misrepresentation or non-disclosure, or, you know, post an incident you know, the facts don't add up. But unless there is any behavior like that, we've seen insurance companies be extremely supportive. The partners we've worked with have always paid up. It's not been an issue.
What's the usual turnaround time, though? Because if you're a small business, particularly if you've been closed for a couple of days, it's all about the cash flow.
Right. It varies from incident to incident, as you could imagine. Oftentimes for smaller claims, you know, we're able to just in a week or two have it paid out. For larger claims, if a loss adjuster is involved, and then just the physical act of, you know, doing what it takes to indemnify the client in terms of doing all the fixes, and, you know, that it does end up taking some time. But we try to manage clients' expectations based on each scenario.
Very quickly, 30 seconds, what do companies need to be documenting and doing now?
After an incident, you've got to make sure you, firstly, principle of loss minimization. So you've got to make sure you don't make things worse. You take all of the actions necessary to, you know, have the damage controlled, as it were. You've got to take as many pictures as possible. Ideally, we'd recommend that you hire a professional assessor straight away to just get a sense of everything that's happened and the repairs that will be required. Then talk to your insurance broker straight away. Let them know there might be a potential claim. You know, give them all of the information and then have them guide you on what else needs to be done, just to make sure that you have a very strong case when you file your claim.
Avinash Barber, CEO and founder of InsuranceMarket.e, thank you for your time this morning.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Yeah, we've been hearing here on the Business Breakfast from hotels and restaurants about the challenges with getting food into their establishments, because trucks are obviously on the same roads as the rest of us. So we're going straight to the source to see how that's working. Michael Cook is the commercial manager at JM Foods. Michael, good morning. It's lovely to see you.
Good morning, Benny. Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honour.
Do you want to remind us first what kind of companies you're serving and what you're taking them here in the UAE?
Yes. So we are a food supplier in UAE. We supply food products to hotels, 4 or 5-star restaurants, catering companies and retail. So, and we cater meat and poultry, seafood, grocery, beverages and bakery and pastry products.
So how have the storms and the subsequent flooding of the roads affected your ability to deliver to those customers?
So on Tuesday, basically, when the storm hit, we sent some deliveries initially out in the morning. But when the first storm hit in the morning, we pulled back a lot of deliveries, especially in Dubai area. Our Abu Dhabi vehicles were already on the road, so they managed to do some deliveries. But for Dubai, we were not managed to do deliveries. And the following day as well, on Wednesday, we were not able to do any deliveries because the roads were fully flooded. And it was too risky to send our drivers on the road.
And now?
And right now, yesterday, on Thursday, we started our deliveries. So we went to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, different areas. Some areas were okay, like the Palm, GBR, GLT, but there were also areas like Sheikh Zayed Road around the Trade Center, Dubai Mall, in Jebel Ali, what was quite a challenge. We managed to do deliveries in Abu Dhabi, although it was a challenge for our vehicles to reach Abu Dhabi, but when they were in the capital, everything was okay.
So are you back up to 100% of your deliveries?
No, we are not there yet. I think we are now today around 70-80%. Because still, like Sharjah, Ashman area, we cannot come over there. It's fully flooded. But we managed to send now trucks to Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, and even we have also some export deliveries that will be dispatched today as well.
What about the food coming in to you, a lot of which will be coming off cargo flights? We've been speaking to the boss at the airports this morning. They've got challenges. Are you able to get all the food in you need?
We received yesterday 2 containers from Jebel Ali port. So it came with a bit delay. From the airport side, we have shipments coming in during the weekend. So hopefully everything will be clear. So in the last few days, we had not incoming shipments and from the airport. Lucky, most of our shipments are always coming during the weekend. So if everything goes well, we can clear it and deliver it to our customers the following day.
Does that mean we're going to see a backlog a little bit later on, potentially, that it will be food not getting to you, a knock-on effect, as it were?
Yeah, we will have a little bit of a backlog. We also deal with local suppliers, so we buy as well some products locally. So locally, a lot of issues are there. Some of our local suppliers are also located in areas what is fully flooded, so they already sent us a message they can only do deliveries after the weekend. So that is an issue. But for air freight orders, we should, you know, what is already scheduled for the weekend, we will deliver it as per scheduled.
Talk to me about your local partners here. What kind of food in particular has been affected?
So one of our partners is a juice supplier. So they are also in DAP, but they had a lot of water around their area. So they were not able to do the start the production till yesterday afternoon. So we supply a few of our customers where we bring fresh juices. So we couldn't dispatch their deliveries. So today morning, we dispatched finally the order, what was pending for the last 3 days.
What has this meant for the clients that you serve, the restaurants and hotels? What have they told you?
We've been receiving a lot of calls, obviously, from our customers. And we're keeping them up to date about delivery status. A lot of them, they need delivery because they're also running on low stocks. But we do the best what we can do. And we're trying to do as much as possible. We had vehicles still late night on the road to deliver all the deliveries, even though in difficult areas, you know, our drivers are trying to reach them. Yeah.
Is there any concern about any of your perishables in all of this?
That's a good question. But most of our products, they have a quite long shelf life, from 30 days plus. So the storm doesn't affect too much for our short shelf life products until now, yeah.
Will this change the way you do business at all? How you distribute, where you warehouse things, having more centres? Is there anything you're going to take from this afterwards and think, okay, we might tweak that if we're going to see more rain in the future?
Yeah, we definitely need to have some different scenarios. Like we were not prepared for this last storm. I mean, we had obviously a few storms, and even though there was some flooding, we could manage the situation. But this one was unprecedented, and we need to be, you know, better prepared. So we need to have different scenarios, because we cannot send the delivery trucks on the road if with so much rain. So we need to see what we can do as alternatives. So few discussions are needed with the management team.
What might that look like? What could alternatives look like?
That's a good question. I mean, we have to deliver over road, and our area where we are located in DAP, it floods very easily. So we need to see how we can send our deliveries out. One of the challenges is that when the rain came, our deliveries cannot go out because the water is too high. So we need to see what we can do and discuss maybe with DIP government as well on fixing the roads.
Okay, Michael Cook, Commercial Manager at JM Food, speaking to us this morning. When do you think you're going to be fully operational, though?
By Monday, we expect fully operational, but we think by tomorrow 90%, so Monday 100%. So hopefully by Monday, all our customers, they have all the orders received.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for spending
Thank
it with
you
us.
For having me.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
And let's have a look, following on from our last interview about food delivery into hotels, about the challenges that hotels are facing at the moment. They're providing shelter for people whose homes have been flooded, people who can't necessarily hop on flights, whilst facing some issues themselves. We are joined this morning by Simon Lee. He's the Managing Director of Premier Inn Hotels. Simon, good morning. It's lovely to speak to you.
Good morning, Brandy. How are you?
I'm well. But, mate, we are more interested in how you guys are going this morning. There's been no shortage of drama over the past few days. So let's look at what it means for you. How full is it, literally, at the Premier Inn?
Literally full. It's been a very, very interesting 48 hours. I think, firstly, operationally, the team's done an amazing job, absolutely superb job. From how full we are, we go from a stage of being full and potentially overbooked to being, seeing quite a large amount of cancellations. So statistically, we were kind of looking through the data, and in the last 2 days, we saw 40% of the month's cancellations to date in the last 2 days. That's not nearly 40%. That you then suddenly have to go, okay, how do we manage this balance between occupancy? How we're going to charge? How we're going to make sure that we can accommodate guests that we've got? And we also had guests that were also stuck and looking to extend the stay. So it's quite an interesting challenge for our brilliant revenue team and commercial team. It's been quite an interesting 48 hours.
Right, so those cancellation or international visitors who can't get in, the extension from international visitors who can't necessarily hop on flights out. For those who don't show up, at what stage can you release the inventory though?
So guests, so 60% of our business is typically booked on a flexible rate. And in the normal course of doing business, we'll expect a certain amount of that business to wash or to cancel. And guests can cancel up to 1 p.m. On their day of arrival. So we're kind of well tuned and we understand how to manage that business. I think this was just unprecedented in the sense that, you know, in such a short space of time, you had the situation change completely. So people's travel plans were disrupted and people's the ability to go back and from where, you know, from Dubai as well and the UAE. So we've ensured that we've been as flexible as possible. We've also been very flexible in terms of where we have rates which are non-cancellable. We're actually providing the opportunity for guests now to rebook within a booking window. So rather than losing their money, we've also given the opportunity for them to rebook. So I think this is a time to support the city. I think it's important to make sure that we provide and a reasonable and flexible and support as much as we can during what has been unprecedented.
What about local walk-ins though? What are you seeing from people who live here and what are they telling you?
We always do see a reasonable amount of walk-in business anyway. We have seen that. Certainly the walk-in business has increased. One of the things we're trying to do to support that as well, because there are a number of communities that have been affected. So for local residents, one of the things we will be offering is an unpublished kind of short stay rate. So for 7 days. So we're providing an opportunity now at a very, very competitive rate so that people can come and stay. But we have seen a lot of disruption. We've seen it, I think, social media. It's been quite clear that, you know, sadly, lots of people have been affected. So we want to make sure our doors are open. We're going to provide an opportunity, hopefully, a very competitive rate for people to come and stay for a 7-night minimum stay. And that will provide an opportunity for people that have been disrupted, hopefully, the opportunity to get their head down and rest easy.
What are you doing with rates at the moment, Simon? What do you do in a situation like this?
I think you've got to be kind of pragmatic. I've seen across our comp set in the city some you know pretty high rates. I was looking this morning at our rates, and you know you can still walk into Jeddah this morning for 280 dirhams. You know, assuming availability continues to, you know, we continue to have that availability. Rates dynamic. We've spoken about this before. It will go up and down dependent on the demand. But I think you've got to be kind of a bit pragmatic and not necessarily just go, right, great opportunity to make a huge amount of money. I mean, we've also had to use quite a lot of our capacity to house team members. So we had team members displaced. They couldn't get back to International City and their accommodation. So making sure, we're balancing housing our own team, keeping the operation going, has been really important. Therefore, we've tried to trade as brilliantly as we can with the remaining availability, but also being reasonably reasonable in the way that we approach that as well.
Oh, we've got about 40 seconds left with you. What about food and linen deliveries? What about your own operational challenges?
I'll tell you what, the ops line have been superb, as have our suppliers, and all credit to them. We work with ELR in terms of our F&B, Emirates Leisure Retail, and they have been exceptional. So keeping the F&B operation going. So availability has been impacted, but actually the pace at which ELR have managed to keep those food deliveries flowing has been really, really strong. In terms of linen, we keep a certain amount of linen in the hotel. So we have a thing called a par level. So we maintain certain inventory levels in the hotel. So they're a bit depleted, but actually the linen trucks are moving around, so that circle is starting again. So we haven't had any rooms off sale for, you know, because we haven't had linen, as an example. So food, you know, our guests can still come to us and they can still have a good night's sleep and a great F&B as well.
Simon Lee, Managing Director of Premier Inn Hotels, talking to us about managing inventory levels and prices this morning. Thank you for your time.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
So looking at how businesses are faring with time after the storms, obviously the night of the storms was something else, but it's the damage to businesses after that that we are focusing on today and moving forward. What about restaurants? What about the hospitality industry? How are they faring? There's some videos doing the rounds of some severe damage to a number of properties. They will obviously have to turn to their insurance teams and rebuild as well. Let's turn now to a well-established member of the hospitality industry, the co-owner of BB Social Dining, just one of a whole host of brands under his portfolio, Soul Soups, and of course, Filotimos Meze and Grill. It is Spiro Panagakis joining us live on the line, live via Microsoft Teams. Morning, Spiro.
And a very good morning to you, Tom. Morning, Brandy.
First and foremost, congratulations. Award winner last night, BB Social, picking up a couple of awards at the Time Out Abu Dhabi Restaurant Awards last night. First year of business, winning awards. You're doing something right.
Well, yes. It's one of those team efforts where we all get a chance to stop and reflect that whilst difficult and the hard slog, as we say, pays off. And even better, getting awarded these awards by yourself last night. So I'm extremely proud to see that we get a morning call straight after too. That's fantastic.
Look at you. Listen, that's the good news. Look, the bad news has been the impact of the storms on the industry as a whole. First and foremost, before we get on to the knock-on effects, operations up and running 100%?
As a team, I guess we are what we call 100%. It's been a major struggle getting teams transported across town. Obviously, the severity that happened on Monday night, the day of Tuesday was obviously the hardest day possible because people had managed to get to work. The difficulty was how they actually get home from work. So many of the staff either I stayed over in the businesses themselves, which was not what we wanted to do, but safety first, as we always say. And some actually did go home, couldn't get through the Metro lines, couldn't get through to any taxi, couldn't get through to anything. So it was a bit of a I don't want to say, but it just seemed like it was Armageddon. It was unbelievable, unprecedented. Completely unprecedented.
Unprecedented is a word we've heard time and time again. And that's obviously having a knock-on effect on a number of services and organisations. We spoke to JM Foods a little bit earlier on about some of the challenges they're facing. Let's look at it from your perspective. Are you getting the supplies you need to your venues?
Tom, in a nutshell, yes. I'd say it at a good 85%. The beauty, it sort of works in two ways, where the beauty was as a main property, whether it was in the DIFC up in Abu Dhabi at the Rosewood or even Time Out Market in Souk Al-Bahar. Obviously, they're part of a master landlord scheme, and accessing these properties is normally through a general demise, a central demise where deliveries can go. Due to the fact that reduced traffic on the road and less public on the road, it allowed a bit more flex, which was one thing that the landlords, I think, did well, and we thank them for it, because deliveries could be dropped off sort of almost like the old days. You know, you just park on the side of the street and send it through, and we receive at that end. So in that respect, we're very happy to be able to sort of swindle our way through a very difficult period of time, thinking that if we're not going to get supply, we're not going to be able to open our doors. It was hard enough opening our doors to a public that we were not planning to actually see because of the stay home factor and work at home factor. So we knew directly that the numbers were going to reduce it at least by 60 to 70%.
You obviously have got a good relationship with your suppliers, otherwise they wouldn't be your suppliers as well, and therefore trust plays a large part. But especially given the sort of delay to the logistics chain as well, do you have to sort of up your your quality control of supplies coming through the door?
Tom, it's imperative. Even in general, when you sort of take the foot off the ball, the issue is always that the supply chain is so much in demand and there's so much competition in that sort of element where people want the business for the business. We upped our game to the point where, you know, it was critical, because if we did not, and a lot of vehicles had been stopped for, you know, a good 2-3 days, even up until today. So all that product that has either been lying around or dormant on the streets, because as we know, there was sort of many abandoned vehicles on the highways, on the roads in general. So the quality control checks in the business was sort of the highest of priorities, because anything that would knock on would be directed to the consumer or even to our own people, feeding them on a day-to-day basis.
One thing is getting the consumables to your venues. The next thing is getting people to consume said consumables as well. What with the lack of taxis, of higher ride-hailing services, they're slowly coming back. What are the numbers like been like in terms of bums on seat, in terms of diners in, and what are your forward bookings like for the weekend?
Say for the last 4 days, quite depressing. I could use the word. Understandable, of course, and I think this is where we need to form together between sort of the operators. Let's form together as a reality, so that the knock-on effect is not okay. The retailer and the industry itself suffered because it had to stay open, or did it have to stay open? Not necessarily, but you know, we have to be clear with each other that, you know, this is the point in time where communication is the highest. Our numbers dropped next to nothing because A, impossible to get out. B, there was also fear in town where, you know, I don't want to get stuck. There's a health and safety hazard that's out there. Plus insurances were not guaranteeing, you know, you take your vehicle out, it's at your own risk. So it created a very much, I don't want to say the word, but a kind of a mini COVID situation where people just didn't move. So yesterday, slightly the day before, things started to ramp up. Services are not 100% back to normal again. You know, we've suffered with AC issues across the whole property, not coming back online again. Thankfully, the weather's been kind to us, whereby the evenings, the temperatures have dropped off. So that allows people to dine out. But yeah, so properties are not really at 100%. I would say now on the weekend, fair enough. But again, I think people are sort of waiting to say, well, you know what, we had a week to go back into work and kick off after Eid and the Ramadan period. Well, let's allow this week to pass and, you know, start fresh again on Monday.
Just very quickly, Spiro, I've only got, 20 seconds left, but open for business this weekend, correct?
100% lunch and dinner, and I expect to see you there, Tom.
Obviously, my friend, obviously. We will come and say hi, that's for sure, and break bread as we always do. Spiro Panagakis, big thank you to you for giving us your thoughts on your business and the industry as a whole. Spiro is the co-owner of the award-winning BB Social Dining, Soul Soups and Filochimos Meze and Grill, both here with outlets both here in Dubai and down in Abu Dhabi.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
How are businesses faring post the floods of earlier this week? We know that the cleanup, the mop-up, is underway at the moment. More and more roads are being opened up for service. More and more cars are being cleared from those roads. More and more services becoming available, including one that is going to be essential for so many people. All those with who've been affected in their travel plans have been affected will be turning to ride hailing services. There are no shortage of them here in the city of Dubai and across the whole of the UAE. Yango is one of the proud ride hailers here. The general manager of the GCC for Yango is Islam Abdul Karim, who's been kind enough to join us live on Microsoft Teams this morning. Islam, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks. Good morning.
First and foremost, before we get on to operations, how about your fleet? How about your drivers? Everyone safe and sound following the storms?
Today, thanks to everyone. Thanks to everyone's effort. It's all good right now.
Operational.
We're restoring.
Sorry, I interrupted. So everyone's good. So no one affected by the storms. You haven't lost any vehicles or anything like that?
No. Now the service is intensively restoring operation in all areas where it's safe. This has become possible also thanks to the well-coordinated efforts of RTA and the government of Dubai, which are fighting the challenges posed by the strongest storm in the last 75 years, as all we know.
So, in terms of current operational status, are you back up to 100%?
Of course, storm paralyzed the traffic in most of the Emirate, and our service could not work in many areas over the last few days. But today, the situation get back to normal step by step.
Do you, as a company, have to put into place specific safety measures for both drivers and passengers in light of what's happened? Is there any change to the services for you?
The safety of our partner drivers and the passengers has always been our major priority. So during these days, we promptly alert users using notification in the app. Our support team were working 24/7, providing information and supports and answering all the questions, because, like, you know, what was on the streets in our minds, in our hearts in these days, right? So we'd like always to express our special gratitude to our partners and their drivers who stood up in this challenge with us. We have paid special attention to ensuring the death drivers walk only in safe areas and restored all internal metrics for drivers who were online during those days.
What about pricing at the moment? What is the policy at Yango? We've seen reports coming through from various people out there about various services from ride hailing services out there, a potential price surging going on, etc. Do you have a sort of fixed policy?
The prices are regulated on the market, as you know, and we're trying to be convenient for the for the customer and for the driver, because we're about to give the balance to passenger for the driver equally. So that's how we're going.
In terms of the sort of support that you can give the community, you highlighted that you're working closely with the local authorities. Is it a key for you, Islam, and the team at Yango to work with the community during these difficult times?
Yeah, we understand how fast, safe and convenient transportation service is important in emergency situation. In current situation, we are doing everything possible to restore safe operation the earliest. To do this, we use the potential of Yango ecosystem, and including Yango Maps, which are big one right now, and which allows us to quickly identify safe areas across the city.
Yeah, that's a great asset that you have at your use as well. Have you noticed any unusual customer demand patterns from your customers?
Nothing unusual, because the situation, in rainy days in Dubai, the situation is kind of same, and we don't see any unusual, but the load in the system and the requests, of course, is going up, because people don't want to walk in these days, right? They want to use transportation. And we're trying to provide the safest way of this transportation, as I told, for both parties, for driver and for the rider.
And finally, looking ahead to the future, can we learn from the problems that we've experienced over the last few days to enhance operations?
Thank you for asking. That's actually a good question. The current situation has become like a challenge for everyone, right? But it has also become a valuable experience in analyzing which we can make our safety protocols even more efficient and reliable. We are constantly working on improving our service right now. And once again, we would like to thank our partners and their drivers in upcoming in overcoming this period with us. And we are learning from them. We are getting feedbacks from them. And that's how I think we're going to analyze this experience and bring Dubai better experience that they ever had in the future.
Islam, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks to you and the team. Islam Abdul Karim, General Manager GCC for Yango, the ride-hailing services getting back up and running at the moment.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.